Praise you, Jesus. Are you ready for the word tonight? Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles. Let's get started. To 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Do you understand that Jesus took our sins at the cross, right? On the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We're on not a real long series, but we're spending a few weeks taking our flu shots for this year. Our flu shots, our cold shots, our athlete's foot shots, our shots for any type of infirmity the devil might throw our way. Amen? Any type of injury. Because the Word declares, just like Jesus took our sins at the cross, He also bore our sickness. And we have a right to live sickness-free. Now, we've already covered here in the past few services that when Adam transgressed against God, when he committed high treason, the curse came upon the earth. And we find it in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that sickness is part of that curse. He said, if you obey my voice, you'll be protected from these things. But if you disobey, these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And sickness is part of that curse. God's not putting sickness on us. We found that out, right? Sickness is a result of being out from under God's covering that shelters us from sickness. So where the curse came upon the earth through Adam's rebellion, Jesus at the cross made provision we could be redeemed from the curse. So turn to Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at that. Galatians chapter 3. I'm already excited where we're going tonight. Galatians chapter 3. And I've got to use this new Bible layout. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. We recognize, let's read on the next verse, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We recognize that Jesus took the curse at the cross. And whosoever will believe on his sacrifice has a right to access the power of God, the grace of God, to be delivered from that curse. And part of that curse is sickness. Now I want to ask you a question. I really want you to follow what I'm about to say. Do you believe that in the garden before Adam sinned, there was any way his body would ever entertain sickness? He was carrying so much of the glory. I mean, even had sickness been in the garden, we understand it wasn't in the garden right yet. But had it been in the garden, do you think it could have attached to his body? I don't either, because he was living free of the curse. Because of his liberation from the curse, sickness had no right to touch his physical body. Amen. And in the same fashion, you through the cross have been redeemed from the curse. And the truth is, let me back up again. I believe had Adam even fallen and injured himself, his natural body that God designed for healing would have nearly instantly corrected any problems within his body. You have a DNA code within every cell of your body, of your being, right? That DNA code, really each cell of your body has into the code that describes your entire physical makeup. Amen. And God designed this body prior to the curse to always align itself with that code. I believe if he broke a bone, the bone would near instantly heal back. Amen. Why? Because there was nothing to restrict or hold back that glory power on him from lining up his body to that code. Amen. A whole code. Adam was designed to live forever. Age could not have touched him. Sickness could not touch him. Injury could not take him out. Amen. And so, in the glorified state of the original body God gave man, was a self-correcting, self-healing, self-renewing system that would keep Adam eternally young. Amen? And eternally healed. Your body originally, at least man's body originally before the fall, was designed to always go back to right condition. I remember this would have been back, my goodness, the 80s, when the Saturn vehicles came out. You remember the Saturn cars? And I remember when the Saturns came out because they were the first car to come out with plastic parts on the body that would return to their shape. And you would go to the Saturn dealership, and the guy would take this big rubber mallet, and he'd walk up to the front fender. Some of you may have seen this. And he would wham, hit that fender, and that wind fender would pop way in, and it'd snap right back out without a mark on it. He could go several places, smack the car. You remember this, Tom? Smack the car, and the fender would pop right back out. It was created with a memory to the parts that under damage, it always went back to its original form once the pressure lifted. That's the way man's body was designed. That if it was ever to take a hit, it would always go back to the original program, to the original DNA code, to the original glorified state. Your body was designed to function without injury, sickness, or limitation. And at the cross, whether we received it or not, Jesus made provision for us to be totally restored in that fashion. That no matter what the enemy does to you, no matter what circumstances do to you, no matter what hit you take, your body under the blessed system versus the cursed is meant to get a hold of that revelation that you can go right back to your former state. Even to the point your youth is renewed as the eagles. Amen. A person that ever fully got a hold of God's healing power and His healing covenant, no matter what attack came his way, he would instantly be healed. Go right back to healed state. If it could even come upon him at all. Amen. And God is raising up an end time church that's getting a hold of this revelation. That sickness cannot touch their life, injury cannot touch their life, pain cannot touch their life. We have a right. Here's the revelation I want us to get a hold of tonight. We have a right under the blessing to never have to be sick. That anything that does hit us, it cannot keep us under the results of the curse. We've been redeemed from the curse because Jesus took the curse. So to take any type of infirmity, injury, any type of corruption in our body, is to not fully receive what's been made available. If I stretch this a bit far, will you guys forgive me if I take it too far? If it's possible. I truly believe under the results of the blessing, if we get a hold of it, if your eye was to be plucked out of its socket, a new one could grow back in. Teeth could grow back into your head where they've been pulled. Feelings could pop out and new tooth be there. Under the fullness of the blessing. But we're so accustomed to thinking, well, you know, what can you do? I know God could heal, you know, this type of disease, but He certainly can heal a tooth. What's to stop Him? I've had Him heal things with my teeth. Amen? You're going to watch Him heal a whole lot more in all areas. We've been redeemed from the curse, and you have a right to walk around no matter what hits your body. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from this, does not belong to me. I rebuke it and speak to your body. Remember, you have not because you ask not. Speak to your body and say, body, you line up to the original DNA code. You line up. You be healed, restored. All my joints are back in place. Everything's taken care of. Amen. Instead of the things people try to say like, well, you know, I'm just getting older. Get older, things start to sag. Amen. We have a right to live above that. If we'll just really get a hold of it. And tonight I want us to get a hold of we're free from the curse mentality. Does not belong to us. Don't invite it. Don't embrace it. Don't confess it as yours. Tell every aspect of symptom it's got to go and do it vehemently. Demand it go. Amen? Walk with the recognition it doesn't belong in your re-glorified body that you have now. I know it's not fully glorified, but you have a right to step into that glory. Amen. See, I personally believe when the glory fully hits us, things people have carried for years will be totally reversed. Amen. I believe arthritis will be just totally eradicated out of people's lives. Diabetes, totally gone out of people's lives. High blood pressure, you know, it's going to be gone. Amen. But why wait? Why put off till tomorrow the glory you can step into today? Why not demand that you step into that release from the curse right now? Because it's already been paid for. He redeemed us from that. How much are we willing to believe? And as we believe it, we have it, right? Now, we started off looking at 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, through the cross, Jesus delivered us from all sin. And in the same passage, it also says, by His stripes you were healed. Now, we understand at the cross, He didn't receive the stripes. He receives those at the whipping post, right? But it was all the same great exchange being made. It was all the same sacrifice being offered to deliver us from the curse and from sin and from anything that goes with those two. And I want to take some time tonight and look through scriptures and find out how many times we see God tie healing to redemption. Does anybody, I tell you, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you got it? Let's go to verse 21. For He hath made Him, Father God has made Jesus, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? How many know at the cross Jesus was made sin? He was made a sinner at the cross. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus was made something He had never been, to provide for us to become something we could never be. Did you follow that? He was made sin so we could be made righteous. What a great exchange made for us on behalf of God. He virtually took our sin at the cross to redeem us from that sin. And when He redeemed us from sin, He redeemed us from the curse as well. And we have a right to walk free of all the ramifications of that curse. All of the effects and influence of the curse. Verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, if you back up a few, he's a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Right? You became something through the cross that didn't even exist prior to the cross. You became a born-again Christian, a new species of being. Still man on the outside, but God on the inside. And you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You were made in the exact image of Jesus himself. Because he came to earth as man on the outside, but God on the inside. And through the cross, he became man on the outside and man on the inside. And we became man on the outside and God on the inside. What a gift. What a unlimited, how can I say, without price gift we've been given to be made in the image of God on the inside. Amen. Now, do you think sickness could ever stick to Jesus? And we have a right for it not to stick to us. The only thing that permits sin to stick to us is we still recognize or identify with the old fallen nature. We still look at ourselves as being sinners versus being made righteous. And the more we can identify with our new created status of being, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the more we're going to walk in the healing power of God, the deliverance power of God, the mountain-moving power of God. Amen. The power of God for everything that you need. All flows out of recognizing who we now are. Now, does anybody here have a problem if I tell you that if you'll confess your sins and believe on Jesus, you'll be saved? Does anybody have a problem with that? Do you have any problem believing that you'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus? You really believe if you'll confess Jesus, God will do a miracle on the inside of you and you'll become a new creation? Well, that's radical faith right there. But it's the faith every evangelical Christian that's really born again possesses. You've heard it spoken over and over again, if you confess your sin, you'll be a new creation. And without any outward signs, you receive that by faith and step into it. When I got saved, we attended a church, first time we'd been there, and a guest minister stood up and started describing us in detail. We came up and got saved, and they said, "You're saved, you confess Jesus." I said, "I am." I felt the same. I didn't feel any different. I didn't know about the born-again experience. They just said, "You're saved." But by believing what they said, and I knew God had visited us that night. I knew that he was there showing himself, but I felt the same. But based on what they said that I was saved, I took them at their word and started pursuing living as a born-again Christian. That night. And that night, over 31 years ago, I was instantly delivered from 12 years of alcoholism and 10 years of recreational drug use. Gone. Plus a lot of other stuff. Just gone. I didn't feel any different, but yet God delivered me from it. With no physical feelings whatsoever, God did a miracle in my life through the cross. Amen. And the same word that promises redemption through the cross promises healing through that same exchange made. And why can't we receive healing as readily as we do salvation? We're ready to say, "Yes, I'm saved. I'm a new creation. Oh yeah, my sins are passed away." And you don't feel a bit different than you did before. Some of you may have. I didn't. Amen. I'm feeling different. But you're willing to say you're saved and receive it by faith. And guess what is true? Why can't we do the same thing with healing? Why can't we just say, "Yes, I'm healed. The word declares it. It's part of the redemption that Jesus brought for us at the cross." Why can't I receive healing in the same way? You know why? Because now you do have something impacting your feelings. It's the pain and the discomfort of the symptoms. Amen. Now, the devil may have attacked you when you got saved and said, "You're not really saved." But you just went with what the pastors told you. And you said, "Well, they told me I'm saved, and the word says I'm saved, so I'm saved." But now you've got the devil saying you're not healed. combined with physical discomfort. Amen. And now the pain's saying you're not really healed. And you've got to let the word speak in your life louder than the pain. You've got to let God's promise carry greater weight in your life than the discomfort that you're experiencing. And speak louder than that. The same word that says you're saved says we're healed. And those that will get a hold of this will adamantly demand to step into their healing. They will get mad at symptoms and saying, this does not belong to me. I mean, let's say that you go to a restaurant, nice restaurant, and you order, you know, filet mignon or ribeye, something like that, and they bring liver and onions or chicken livers. Now, I like chicken livers and liver, okay? How many like liver? How many hate liver? Hands went up all over the place. Hate liver. And they bring you liver. And waiter puts it down. You say, waiter, this is not what I ordered. It's not what belongs to me. I ordered a steak. And they said, oh, no. We really have got a shortage of steak, and we brought you liver instead. Now, I know this woman. She's going to say, the liver doesn't belong to me. Bring me my steak. Amen, or I'm out of here. She's not going to sit there, oh, okay, that's great. I'll just eat the liver. It's not going to happen. How many of you are going to take the liver over the steak? And just go ahead and pay for it. Say, no big deal, you know. Accidents happen. Food's food. My guess is you would be quite adamant. You would say, this is not what I ordered. This is not what belongs to me. I hate liver. Now, personally, I love liver. But you might be going, I hate liver. And refuse to accept it. Amen. You're not going to let them put it in a doggy bag for you to take home later. Amen. You're not going to take it. And you'll put your foot down and say, this is not mine. But yet the devil comes and brings you something that doesn't belong to you. And we say, well, I'm just sick today. I'm feeling sick. Or I just feel bad. And what are you doing? You're saying, I receive the liver. That's really what you're doing. You're saying, I receive it. Instead of when a symptom hits your body, I don't care if it's the slightest twinge of pain. I do this. Pain hits me. I go, Jesus, I'm healed. I don't know. Whatever it is, pain hits me. I'm healed. Because the devil, it's amazing how the devil will operate. I remember one time I had a pain hit me right there. Felt like a stabbing pain. Boom, hit me. And the devil immediately said, your appendix just burst and you're about to die. I said, you stupid devil. My appendix didn't burst. My appendix is healed. And by the way, it's on this side anyway. No matter what pain hits you, the devil will always say it's the worst thing possible and you're about to die. How many have had that spoken to you? How many have had the devil tell you repeatedly you're going to die? He's a liar. But he's trying to see if you'll take the liver. When healing belongs to you, the filet belongs to you, you know, the best belongs to you, the lobster belongs to you, the king crab legs belong to you. Oh, glory to God. I'm getting hungry. The best belongs to you. And this is, no, that's not yours. You haven't been spiritual enough today to merit the filet or the crab. So today, you're getting spam. Now, I'm having trouble because, see, I like all these. I love spam. They don't have black pepper spam. It's awesome. The jalapeno spam is great. I keep buying these different spam flavors because I like it all. The only thing I've had lately I didn't think was very good, I could eat it, but wasn't very good, was they now sell bourbon-flavored Vienna sausage. It's a bourbon barbecue. Bourbon syrup. No bourbon in it, but it's supposed to have a bourbon flavor. Vienna sausage. I love Vienna sausage. I can about live on those. And the bourbon was the only one I don't care for. You think in Kentucky, you'd like that, right? I tried it. It didn't taste like bourbon. It tastes like a salt tablet. It's terrible. But you've ordered the best when you sided with Jesus. Some people stretch me in faith. 1996, or 97, I think it was, Pastor Philip, who's always been stretching in faith anyway financially, he didn't have any money. I didn't have any money. I was making $400 a week working for him if I got paid. Amen. And we'd have to use our faith to get money in to go to McDonald's for the kids. And so I've got two small kids, and God speaks to him for us to go on a getaway, he and I and our wives, to Lake Ontario at a campground. Somebody offered us a cabins up there to pay for them. All we had to do is get up there and use them. That was the trip he got caught up to heaven. Amen. God told him that he was coming quickly. Whole vision he received. But he was caught up to heaven in the throne room with Jesus. And we go up there and we go to Niagara Falls. We travel around. And we go to Niagara Falls and Pastor Philip sees across on the Canadian side this Skylon Tower. And has anybody ever been to Skylon Tower? It's way up a tower, way up like a space needle with a rotating restaurant at the top. And as you're in it, it rotates real slowly. And at night, they've got colored lights on the falls and are always changing colors. It's beautiful. And we didn't have any money, but he said, we're going over there. And he says, I'm paying. We go over and he says, order what you want. We're talking about stuff on the menu. To me, it was a big deal to not get a value meal at the fast food restaurant. And we're talking about a bowl of soup's $20, you know. And we order this big dinner. We eat up. I think the bill was $200-$250 or something with a tip and everything. We're talking about 20 years ago. Which is a lot of money to us. And we ate the best. And God wants us to learn how, as we're redeemed from the curse, to expect the best. There's more from that we'll bring out, hopefully, as we go. But what they're enjoying the best, had they brought me liver and onions? Or my wife? No, we're not going to receive that. God paid the ultimate price to get us full healing from everything. And we've got to be willing to reject that which does not line up to the Word of God. Trying to think of some other examples besides food. There's things in life, in natural life, we won't tolerate. And we should be more like that in the spirit. Patty and I have gone on some trips, well, a lot of trips, but I mean, to trips where they put us in rooms that weren't what they said they were. We've gone to rooms that were supposed to be non-smoking and you open up and a cloud hits you. And we'd have to, oh God, that was horrible. We can't go there tonight. Bring up two big mad memories. You'd be mad at me before the night's over. And the rooms are unacceptable and we'll have to change rooms. I'm not going into stories about it. You may have had some bad motel experiences yourself. And you go to the desk and they'll say, well, that's the only room we have. You said to take it. No, I'm not taking that. You find me a room now. Or getting to sanitize that place. I'm not staying in that room. There's things you'll put up with in the spirit you would never put up with in the natural. dirty room, wrong food at a restaurant, you rent a car and they bring you some clunker and you can't get out of the parking lot before it's breaking down, you're not going to drive anywhere in that thing. You're going to say, no, that's not what I paid for. Amen. On our honeymoon, I got a travel agent to take me to the, book me a trip to the Virgin Islands. I said, I want a nice hotel on the beach, great beach area. I want the best for it. So I pay her all this money. We get to the Virgin Islands. They stop at the airport. They drive up the hill. This was back in 84. Drive up the hill, what, 200 yards? Get us out and say it's $5. Unload us at a hotel, and the beach was gorgeous. I mean gorgeous. We check into the room, and it looked like something out of a third world rundown country. Almost could have had dirt floors. I mean, it was that bad. Two twin beds, no TV, no nothing, hand painting on the wall, a little bitty radio from the 1950s in the room. And that's what I just paid $2,000 for my honeymoon to go to. So I went to the desk, threw a fit, got back, took it, threw a fit, and was not happy. Why? It wasn't what I ordered. Wasn't what I paid for. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? And Jesus paid for us to have a physically whole body. That's what I was going to say. Pastor Philip paid for that entire meal. And had I ordered, I don't remember what I ordered, but it was nice. Steak or lobster or something like that. And had they brought me, you know, Vienna sausage, bourbon flavored, and some burnt eggs, I'd have said, no, I ordered the steak or the lobster. This is not mine. And they said, well, he's paying for it. You're not even paying for it. What are you worried about? Just eat it. I just said, no, he's paying for me to have the best. Bring me what I ordered. How many would have done the same? How many would just said, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll just eat. I'll eat the Vienna sausages and the burnt eggs. Would anybody have done that? You're in the best restaurant around, overlooking Niagara Falls, gorgeous. Toronto, off in the distance, you can see Toronto. You're not going to tolerate that. Any more, Patty and I, if we go stay somewhere and we're going to stop at a hotel we've not been at, we ask to look at the rooms before we check in. Let me see the room. Let me see what you have. Because I'm not giving you the money until I've verified it's worthy of the money I'm paying you or where I want to stay. Now, with me, I don't care. I sleep on a rock. Amen. But I'm not taking my bride to a dive. At least not anymore. There were some days. Kind of admitted a dive, didn't we? Anyway. What's paid for me, I want full value. Pastor David Redding, this has been, my goodness, 20 years ago or so, entered a singing competition, Daystar singing competition, nationwide, where they had you sing a song, you recorded a song, sent it in, and the winner got a recording, not contract, but got to record in their studio the album of their choice, the songs of their choice, and they gave them like 1,000 CDs and 1,000 tapes. All paid for as grand prize. David Redding won grand prize, number one in the nation. And they told him this, and it wasn't even close. He's saying, here comes a miracle, and it sounded like angels were singing. It was so phenomenal. He won first prize. As he's preparing his songs to go do the recording contract in Nashville, there was a change of management in the company or something. And by the time they got there, they're going, we don't know what you're talking about. Amen. But, you know, we may let you do a few songs and, you know, but, you know, so we're not doing all that. However, I'm sure it was the wisdom of God because David was at okay. He just really non-confrontive. But he took Pastor Jim with him. I think Pastor Callan had the wisdom to send Pastor Jim with him. And Pastor Jim went down and said, wait, here's your contest, your name. Here's what says he wins. You will abide by this contest, you know, guarantee. And finally they said, okay, we'll do it. And he got the full package, everything he wanted. Why? Because somebody said, we're not going to settle for your changing things, aiming your bait and switch or whatever. Although I don't think it was intentional. I think it was a mix-up. But it was his right to have that. I'm spending some time on this on purpose. It's your right to have a life without sickness. It's been prepaid through the stripes of Jesus. Now listen, if, you know, let's say I'm going to the carnival downtown, the horse festival or something, and somebody buys me a dollar hot dog and you know, he's about to hand me the hot dog and it falls on the ground. I said, don't worry about it. I didn't eat a hot dog anyway. No big deal. You follow me? I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm not concerned about a dollar hot dog. But somebody takes me to Ruth's Chris and I order a $75 steak and the waiter's about to get to my table and it falls and hits the ground. He's bringing me another steak. I'm not paying him $75. For when he's going to scrape off the ground, he just a 5 second rule, you know. 5 second rule doesn't. The only place 5 second rule applies is my food in my house. Amen. I don't do the 5 second rule with people I'm eating out. Have you seen that commercial? The guy that's complaining about too much mayonnaise on his sandwich. Sometime back. A guy's in a restaurant, he calls the waitress over and he says, waitress, there's way too much mayonnaise on this sandwich. So she walks over, pulls the top level off, and scrapes it on the side of the table and then puts it back on and says, go there. There you go. Does anybody remember that commercial? Raise your hand if you remember the commercial so you're not leaving me hanging. Okay, amen. That doesn't work. Amen. Pastor Rebecca has quit dealing with Waffle House 18 times now because they keep getting her order wrong. I'm never going back. Well, you know, then she gets hungry at 2 in the morning. Here she is again. It's what happens when you're nocturnal. You have to repent from the only 3 restaurants in town that are open that late. There may just 2. Steak and Shake and Waffle House, right? Amen. And the donut house. 1 or 2 of the donut places. And so you paid for the best, you expect it. You know, if I'm going again, let's say I'm going to the gas station, and it's one, you know, the gas station, I don't have food anymore. JoJo fries, chicken legs, you know, and whatever else, chicken livers. In fact, let me change the example. I was at Walmart about 2 weeks ago, and I was hungry. I have a habit. I don't stop to eat. Eating is way down on my list of priorities. Getting things done is top, you know, seeking God and getting things done, and I forget to eat until I realize I'm hungry. And then I eat whatever's handy because I don't want to stop and take time to eat something good. So I eat a lot at Walmart. Occasionally at Kroger. Y'all ever eat at Walmart? And I stopped in and I looked at their what they had left and I says, just give me a thing of those chicken livers, fried chicken livers. And so they boxed them up. I got back in my car, started to drive off, and I bit one and it was hard as a rock. It was harder than the gumballs in my office. And they were basically almost hollow because the liver was so dried up on the inside that it was just a hollow crust with a little piece of liver inside. And the whole thing was like that. You know what I did? I ate them. Well, you paid for them. Why didn't you go back and get your money back? Because it wasn't worth my time for $3.50 worth of chicken livers, whatever it cost, to take them back and complain about cruddy food quality when I knew when I went there was cruddy food quality. I have never gotten a gourmet meal at Walmart. I didn't expect a gourmet meal. I did expect better quality than that, but it wasn't worth me taking the effort to go back and complain and make a scene, you know, in the newspaper, say, Pastor in Georgetown caused a scene at Walmart for bad chicken livers. Just wasn't worth it. So I ate them what I could. Amen. The rest of them I used to hammer some nails in later at the house. But if I go somewhere and again I'm ordering takeout, but it's, say, Chop House takeout or Carrabba's takeout or something where it's costing quite a bit of money, especially when I'm taking it back to my bride, and I get out and they've got the order wrong, or, you know, the steak is undercooked or whatever, I'm going to take it back. Amen. And in a very pleasant way, say, this is not what I ordered. We'll see the same in the same fashion, because it costs so much. Your healing was paid for at such a precious price. We can't just take it for granted and accept and receive symptoms because it's not what you ordered. In fact, it's not what Jesus ordered for you. He's already pre-ordered your meal, and that's healed. Whole, fullness of life, nothing missing, nothing broken. And to receive anything else is to let the devil steal your blessing and get you to accept less. So when you're supposed to be eating filet regarding healing, you're eating dry chicken livers. Amen. They had fried those things, the crust, so hard that they virtually were like fortune cookies, but three times as thick, and you couldn't break them open. I don't know what had happened. They were horrible. You'd had to soak them in paint thinner for 2 days to get them to break loose. And so we've got to recognize the price paid, who we now are, and say, devil, these symptoms aren't mine, and get angry about it. Now here's the thing. As a Christian, especially as a pastor, I can't go into places and make a scene. Much as I want to. Amen? I really can't. I can't go in and say, this is the most shoddy service I've ever had in my life. Amen? This is ridiculous. I've got to say, this really wasn't what I was expecting. And kindly say, you know, we need to improve your quality. But with the devil, you can make a scene. See, you can get so adamantly mad at symptoms that you virtually put your foot down. No, this is not mine. And I always try to put the foot down that's been hurting. You follow me? Whatever the symptom is, it's your arm, your foot, your leg, your head. Jesus, I'm healed. This is not mine. Get out of there, devil. Because it was paid for you to have fullness of healing. But instead, sometimes we coddle the symptoms. You okay with this? Well, my arm's been hurting. Can't even move it. And so you just create kind of a area around it of protection. Almost like it's a gift. And I've got this pain. And oh, it's been hurting me forever. I hope I don't die from the pain. Amen. And, but God, if you, I speak healing over it, but oh, you got to say, no, that's not mine. I'm talking about just a gentle faith confession versus a taking charge over the situation. Amen. And when you recognize it's not yours, you'll take charge. At least I will. I'm not a confrontive person. I don't like strife. I don't like conflict. I can't even watch TV if there's strife on it. Is this okay with you again? You know what my most hated show on television ever was? Yeah. Actually, that's probably number two. That's not the example I was going to give, but you reminded me. Everybody Loves Raymond. I didn't. I hated that show. Because it was, from the time it came on, it was strife and manipulation and argument. And I virtually, by the time it was over, you're going like, ah! I Love Lucy. It should have been, I'm tolerating Jezebel. She was the most manipulative wife that ever was on TV. And we thought it was funny. And she would lie and connive and, you know, whatever. I didn't like the show. Amen. Now I'm trying to remember where I was going with all this. I hate conflict. But I refuse to be taken advantage of. Amen. And when somebody's trying to take advantage of me, I will stand my ground. Now, some people are, you know, congenial enough or, I'm trying to think of a kind way to put it, but they can be pushed around. Amen? And my wife's somewhat like that. Her dad could carry a sign on his back all of his life, easy target. Because he so hated any kind of disagreement, he'd receive whatever anybody gave him. He would have been one if he ordered steak and they brought him liver, he would have eaten it. Plus, he likes liver. He probably wouldn't say anything. Oh, they'll get it right next time. And Patty's got a lot of that in her until it comes to trying to give her liver. She's not eating liver. Here's one. Let's say that I told my wife I was making supper tonight. Amen? And I'm going to make your favorite, which that jumps around based on her mood. But I'm going to make you a really nice meal. And when she gets there, I've got the best sardines you can find at Walmart on the plate. In soybean oil. Mmm! And I said, I made this for you. Eat it. She's not going to eat it. And if I say, I'm your husband, you have to obey me, I'll be wearing sardines. Amen. There is nothing I could do to make her eat those sardines. And she would tell me there's no way she's going to eat the sardines. She hates the thought of eating sardines. And she's never had them, tasted them to know if they're any good. She just won't try them. How many of them are awesome? Y'all left me hanging on that one too. I love sardines. In fact, I love everything. She's not going to take the sardines. And you've got to be with symptoms like the devil's trying to give you sardines. So no matter how mild-mannered, Patty is so mild-mannered, she might accept something somebody does to her until it's me giving her sardines. And you got to figure out what's the worst thing somebody could put on your plate trying to make you eat it. You got to treat symptoms the same. I'm going to try to give you an example. And I don't know what your answer will be. I know what my answer would be. What would you rather have? The flu for 3 days or eat a piece of liver? Even if you hate liver. Who would choose the flu if you choose the flu over eating a piece of liver for 3 days? Anybody? About that piece. Beg about that big piece. A normally thinking person would say, I'll take the liver. Or, you know, a piece of Spam or whatever, you know, Vienna sausage. You would eat the food over half the symptoms. Because I hate sick symptoms. I hate pain. Right? And we've got to recognize symptoms or the devil trying to bring you the wrong meal, and it's a whole lot worse than liver. It doesn't belong to us. I have a whole list of scriptures we're going to get to tonight, but we ventured on this bunny trail. But I'm trying to get across that you have a right to put your foot down against these things and speak to the mountains and command them to leave. There are things I won't tolerate around me. I'm going to go back to Patty. Because she's got more things she won't tolerate. If there is a spider in the bedroom, she's not going to bed and turn the lights out until that spider's dealt with. She's not going to do it. Amen? Me, I'd say, he's not bothering anybody. Leave him alone. Let's go to sleep. Not Patty. And if a spider disappears, we'll rip that bedroom apart looking for that spider. Have you seen the Facebook post where it's like the house is burnt down and there was a spider, but I got it, you know, right there? I don't know how many car wrecks she's almost been in because there's a spider in the car. I really pray for her in those areas, Lord. Don't let a spider be in Patty's car and she calls a 12-car pileup. Did you see the video a few weeks ago of the girl that got out of her car with it still in gear and she stepped out of her car and the car just keeps on going? She hit a brake and stopped. She stepped out but forgot to put it in park. And the car kept on going, goes about 100 yards down the road, jumps the curb, and did it hit somebody head on or just... I think it jumped the other lane, went through traffic, jumped the... And she said there was a spider in the car. That was the actual story. So she freaked out because there was a spider in the car. She hit her brake in the middle of the freeway. With a child in the back. It hit the bus. Okay, you know what I'm talking about then. She gets out of the car because there's a spider, and there it goes. I pray for Patty in those situations. But she's not going to rest till that spider's hunted down. And as I've told you before, she's never in her life killed a bug through the effects of insecticide. They have drowned it first. Half a can per bug. She starts on a 3-foot circle around it and works her way in. So it can't jump on her. It can't run. Scripture says don't let the sun go down in your anger. We should have the same attitude towards symptoms. Like it's a spider in the house. There's anger in your life. That a price was paid to be redeemed from it, and we refuse to tolerate it. Now, I recognize there comes a time you got to go to bed, you got to go to sleep, but it ought to be after some warfare saying, no, devil, this doesn't belong to me. I've had pains hit me at night. I shared this, it's been a year or so ago. I would lay down in bed. I felt like, I know it was demonic, I felt like a devil took a steel poker and went through my head like this and kept on doing it. And I'm like, what? It wasn't a migraine. I've had migraine. It was like almost like a dentist giving you little shots up in the roof of your mouth and it goes through every part of your head. Feels like it. It felt like that. I jumped up, you stupid devil, I'm healed. And I stopped. Hey, 45 minutes, I marched the floor to confessing healing until it was broken. You can't sleep on these things. Now, if you've gone to bat against it and you've gone to war against it and it's still there when you go to bed, get up tomorrow when you have the chance, fight it some more. Well, I've got to work. I've got chores. I understand that. Do that. But you might not put Everybody Loves Raymond on TV till you've gone against those symptoms. Would you receive the liver if they brought it to you at the restaurant? Yet we let symptoms come on our body and we tolerate it without any opposing force. The plan was to go through a whole set of scriptures tonight, tying redemption to healing. But we'll hold that for next week. This week I want you to ponder. Is anybody feeling condemned over this? It's not the intention. I want you to ponder that you're the righteousness of God and symptoms don't belong to you, and that you're not going to tolerate them anymore. Sometimes, here's what I've had to do. Here's how I do it. When it comes to the point I'm ready to just really put my foot down, I get the healing CDs from Pastor Callahan, we've got mine back there on the computer, and I listen to those messages over and over and over again. Pastor Callahan on their website, you can download, I bet he's got at least 50 healing messages. At least. And you can listen to those over and over again, and your faith will just keep ramping up and up and up, and you'll be putting your foot down harder, harder, and harder. But to make no extra effort, is say, oh, a liver's fine with me. I know I wanted the filet, but liver's fine. Liver be okay. Chew and swallow, what's the difference? Well, it's been paid for if you have a lot better. And I refuse to be stolen from. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause to be people to expect the steak and reject the bad chicken livers. Make us people that are adamant to receive of your promises. Seal the word in us, cause to rise up and be your end time healing representatives. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be honored to pray with. Otherwise, hug some necks.